Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 64, 64th Psalm. The Bible says to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. But the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of the Lord. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and for the word of God that teaches us, strengthens us, encourages us, and God reminds us again and again, over and over, of who you are. And I pray tonight that once again we would have our spiritual eyes and ears open to hear and to learn from this psalm that you've given us and to capture the truths in our heart. Lord, I pray you'd give me understanding, clarity of thought, and unction from the Holy Spirit of God, because I can't do these things without you, and certainly to try would be futile. And so I pray that you would give me understanding in these next few moments as we spend this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Occasionally, as we look at the Bible, sometimes we think that these people who wrote these verses, like if you think of Joshua, and we'll kind of refer that to that specific chapter, Joshua chapter number 1, in just a moment here. But it seems like that they didn't fear. They approached life boldly, and they really believed God. And so when we read it, we get this idea that, man, if I just believed God like David, or if I just believe God like Joshua, or if I just believe God like Paul, I could be better. And there's something here that jumped out at me in reading this and studying this that I honestly had not even seen, because I hadn't looked at the words. Have you ever read something and you're reading, you get the gist of it, but you're not reading the words? Like, the words are there for a reason. Do you know God wrote every word? So every word is there for a reason. And in studying this, I recognize something even about myself, but more importantly, about David. So David, David was a man of God, and he brought his own troubles, but he fought through them. And I mean, man, he went out and he stood in front of Goliath, and he was a kid, and he slung a stone, and that stone went in Goliath's forehead. Oh my word, this is really, really bad, because it's not your name. Harrison. I kept wanting to call him Stephen, and I knew that was not his name. It's Harrison's favorite story, David, the story of David, his whole life. He loves it, especially when the giant falls, because he just took that stone, and then he took Goliath's sword, and he just chopped his head off. It is cool. I mean, this little guy, it's a big deal. But sometimes we start thinking that, well, they really didn't have any problems like we do. I mean, and we learn from the Psalms over and over that David desired deliverance from his enemies. But this might be one of the few times that he says this quite like this. And he says in verse number 1, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. And then you have the colon there, and then he says, why? Because I need you to preserve my life, not from my enemy, but from fear of my enemy. Fear paralyzes. Fear causes you to do dumb things. Fear is something that can ruin your life. If you think of Joshua, so let's turn there real quick, and this is really the only, this is just the best, I thought, for me in my study, and I think it's very plainly given here. We could go to Timothy, and we could see where Paul really encouraged him, but when I think of David, I think he's thinking of Joshua. So God says, verse number 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be, now listen to the very specific charge, thou strong. So you can't be a good, strong leader until you're personally strong in the Lord. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So if you consider the request that David is making, he's not now talking about his enemies coming after him. He's talking about his response to the enemy, his response to the circumstance, his response to the situation, the things he knows are going on, but maybe he does not know or see them all the time. He doesn't know when they're going on. He just knows that they're going on. And so when you read it from this perspective, when we get to verses 2 through 6, so the first thing there is he said, God, I need you to deliver me from fear of my enemy. So the title of this message is, do you have fear? Then pray. Well, that doesn't work. Well, it does. Evidently it does, because when we get to the end of this, you'll see a different type of thinking. So fear paralyzes. Fear stops advancements. Fear causes people to keep their mouth shut. If we'll be really sincerely honest, we are afraid of the culture. You can say you're not, but we are. We're afraid of the response people will have against, well, they'll think I'm some kind of lunatic. They'll take my children away if I say it's okay to spank them. We're afraid to say, you know, the lifestyle that you're choosing, the alternate lifestyle, it is alternate, but it's just sin is all it is. God has a way and you choose not to go that way. And it doesn't matter. You can label it, call it whatever you want, but that's ultimately what it boils down to. It is an alternate lifestyle. It's not the lifestyle God chose for us. And very specifically, any type of sin is the alternate lifestyle. Well, some is worse than others. No, it's all bad. That's the problem. But fear causes us not to say things. So our family, we may have a family member that starts joining in that process. And so out of fear, we don't respond. Well, in verses 2 through 6, it's interesting, again to me, in studying it from this perspective, that these are not necessarily things he sees or he is hearing. They're things he believes, the things he believes are going on, because all enemies do this. So watch, verse number 2. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. He's not talking about him being affected by the secret counsel of the wicked. He's talking about the people that are plotting behind his back. Have you ever thought everybody's out to get you? It's quite possible they are. Just because they say they're not does not mean they're not. I'm telling you, there are people are out to get you. But here's what he says. God, don't save me from that plotting. Save me from the fear of it. That's what I'm concerned with. Because when I'm afraid of these things, I won't act towards you the way I'm supposed to. I won't do the things I'm supposed to. That fear compromises my following of you. So he says, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. And then he explains, who wet their tongue like a sword, bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. You know, God, don't cause me not to fear what people are saying. Because you know what? People are talking about you. Just because they say they're not doesn't mean they aren't. They are. This isn't negative thought. It's just don't let me fear. Keep me from the fear of it. Because when I'm worried about what people will say, it stops me. When I'm worried about them attacking me personally or my family, it freezes me up. So God, you've got to protect me from that. They want to shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. I mean, the attacks are sudden. What happened? What did I do? Because the evil one is always roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And you know where he starts the work? Right here. If he can get you to fear here, he can stop you. If he can get you to overthink something, he'll stop you. I like things a certain way. When you have children and then grandchildren, you get over it. If you don't, you go cuckoo. A husband that comes home and his wife has been home all day with the kids and he wants the house spotless, let me just stop and say to you, you are completely unreasonable. Unreasonable. Then you bring grandkids in. We don't care if they mess stuff up. I mean, I don't really care. But if you're concerned about every little thing, it'll cause you to fear. I know guys who won't talk to girls because they're afraid of what they'll think of them. Well, I can tell you what they think. Every girl thinks the same thing about a guy. He's goofy. I mean, when Twyla met me, she wasn't like, ooh, he's got nice hair. And you saw it. I did have nice hair years ago. Years and years. I'm still very, very jealous of Brother Ohm. It's a bummer. So, if we sit around and we think about, well, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? How are they going to attack me? They want to lay snares. They encourage themselves in evil matters. I mean, it's terrible. They'll win. Well, sometimes they do win the battle. Sometimes they do. But they're not going to win the war. The war's already won. So God, keep me from fear. Not that they're doing it, but keep me from fear of that. So that I'll make right choices, right decisions. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. They're deeply vile and they're evil. Now, these are not things that are happening to him. David in his life did have these things happen to him. I mean, Saul, that had to be a little bit of a, it was very disconcerting to him because David was all in ministering to Saul. Suddenly, Saul wants to pin him against the wall with a javelin, with a spear. He wants to nail him to the wall. Now, think about it. David's mind he was younger then when he started playing the harp for him. What did I do? What have I said? This is sudden. God, I'm afraid. In fact, when you read in 1 Samuel, David's running away from Saul, you'll see when Saul made the promise to David, I'm not going to pursue you anymore, David then said, well, I've got to go down to the Philistines because I'm never going to live through this. I've got to go down and just go down there and live with them. And Saul won't seek me down there because he's afraid of the Philistines. And he was. He wasn't going to come down and find David. And so David thought he would be safe there. But the Bible says he said in his heart that he, well, I'm. This is what's going to happen when Saul had already said, I'm not going to do that. When God had really basically delivered him. Saul wanted him, but Saul was being inundated on all sides because his end was coming very quickly. David trusted in himself because of fear. So if I begin to think of how evil people are, I'm going to be overwhelmed with fear. If I begin to overthink the situation, as a leader at any level, so if you're a manager, if you're a business owner, if you're and I've heard people say this, oh, I'm not afraid of anything. Okay. Then you're also not very smart. You should be afraid of the government. They're coming. This is no joke. It's getting wicked out there. I can't let that stop me. Come on. Why did we respond to COVID the way we did? Fear. Flat out. Well, you just don't know me. Well, I know what people were saying. Some people they were saying, the government's going to do this, the government's going to do this. I said, they constitutionally can't. Well, but they're going to. They say they're going to do it. Well, just what they said, that shut us down. It shut down the church. Why? We were afraid. Do you think that fear is going to be any less now that they found that they have that power? Listen to me. People are evil, especially those people who are not saved and are in power. They're corrupted. We can't let fear, but see, the deal is, we can't control our fear, but God can. God can calm us if we'll simply pray and say, Lord, I need you to deliver me from the fear of my enemies doing things around me that I'm not aware of. I know there's plotting going on. I know that there are wrong actions going on. God, I need you to hide me from their secret counsel. The stuff I don't know what's going on, God, you got to hide me from that. Not so they won't attack me, but I won't overthink it. It is the reason why people don't do what they're supposed to do, because they're too busy trying to figure out every angle. You'll never know all the angles of what is going to happen. Boy, you can do your due diligence, and you should. But let's take this thought. Young people act typically without fear. They're not smart enough because they haven't had enough experience. So that's why they experiment with things. Now, if some of us older people would remember when we were young people, don't sit there like you never did anything, just totally wicked and brutish. Very brutish. And your parents said to you, why did you do that? And your answer was, I don't know. Or I've actually heard young people say to their parents, well, you did it and you're okay. And the parent says, I told you not to do it because I've done it. And I'm not okay. When you don't fear God, you do what you want to do. When you fear others, you usually don't do what God wants you to do. It goes both ways. So in verse number 7, he says, but God. So God, I can't control all of this, but help me, Lord, to turn to you and consider who you are. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. What I need to do, God, is dwell upon the fact that if you take care of them and you deal with this situation, they will look at it differently. It's the reason that we as believers, followers of God, we as those who call ourselves Christians, should not be involved in violent actions against the government or against people. Why? It's not allowing God to do what he should do. Now, I'm not talking about not defending yourself. So don't go out there and say, oh, Brother Ron, I carry a weapon. That's not what I'm talking about. If that's what you think I'm talking about, you're wrong. What I'm talking about is when we know some evil is going on around us. So something has happened. There's a rift in your family. This is a good place to start. And you're struggling with people in your family. Not your job to correct everybody. Even when you're the mom and dad, sometimes you need to let God do the work. Why? Because when God does the work, that person may see that God did the work and did the work well. But more importantly, others will see it and say, look what God did. Look how God protected. Look, this person, so people will say, I pray you don't take this in any way other than the way it's presented as an example, an illustration. It is true, so I'm not lying. I'm just going to say, some people come to you as the pastor or the pastor's wife, and they say, Ms. Dwella, do you know what Sister Blabbermouth said about you? You know what Twyla usually says? The same thing I say. I don't need to know. Why? Because I'm not going to do anything about it. Well, you should know so you can pray. No, I don't want to pray because I don't care. I'm going to pray for you because you're more consistent. Concerned about Sister Blabbermouth than I am. Brother Ron, do you know so-and-so? You know what? There's a lot of stuff that goes on in church. There's a lot. And if I operated in fear, I would never come out of my office. And I would certainly not preach. And can I tell you, there was a time in my life where I was afraid of what everybody thought. And I wanted to be liked. When you become a preacher of the Word of God and you're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, you got to settle that fear in your life. And you know what? Some days I write messages and I go, oh man, I don't want to preach this. And God says, not your choice, not your word. Why don't we witness? Because we don't believe that God can give us the ability to do it. You can't go on your own strength. It's a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. That you need people praying for you, and you need to pray to prepare yourself to join in that battle, to be part of it. Don't ever go after someone just because you think you know the Bible. Make sure that you pray and you're broken for that person. You care. Why? Because they are inherently evil deep down. God is the only one who can do anything about that. We are to go to one another. We are to try to make things right. But sometimes that doesn't work in the church. And then we have to move on to the next step of what the Bible says. And we can't operate in fear. God will take care of it. He says, so shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. When God does it, people see it and go, well, I don't want any part of that. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. When people see that God has done it, they give God glory. Now, we talk about this when we start praying for someone who's ill and God heals them. And it's a blessing that God has healed them. And we're thankful because the doctor said, well, you know, we don't know what we can do, but we're going to try this. And that's really, when you really think about it, they can say, we've had good success with other people with this, but they have to say this, but we can't make you any guarantees. So when someone comes through that sickness or through that ailment or or God does something amazing, what God should get and what we should give is glory to God. And when we wisely do that, they wisely see it and say, well, now, I'm not thrilled about the way that all of a sudden it came about, this young man who was playing football, and everybody said, well, pray for him, pray for him. But it is pretty amazing that the NFL is praying now. You know what you should say? Look what God did. You can argue with it. You can get annoyed with it. Or you can say, well, I mean, they are saying, look what God did. The dude's sitting up in bed. They're saying, pray, continue to pray. I even, you know, heard one of the ESPN guys or NFL guys live, I don't, can't remember who it was, prayed on right there on camera. Now, you can say, well, I mean, they're just trying to get God's favor. Or you can say there are maybe a few of them that are actually saved who actually did pray. And you don't know and I don't know about why they're saying it, but I do know this. They're saying it's a miracle. These are the people just not too long ago were trying to be all-inclusive. And so now I'm wondering, how are they going to reconcile that? Brother Ron, you watch too much stuff. No, I'm telling you, it always intrigues me how that when we're down, we need God. When we're up and have everything, we don't. Here's what David said. God, I know fear's coming, so I need you. I need to be prepared. I need you to keep me from the fear of my enemy. And then verse number 12 says this, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. See, there's a different attitude. There's a stark difference between the first verse talking about fear and the last verse, verse number 10, speaking of the righteous being glad in the Lord. Do you know when you're afraid, you're not glad? When you're afraid, you don't trust God. When you're afraid, you're not glorying in your heart. When you're not afraid, when you're trusting God, when you say, but God will handle this, here's what happened. I can be glad. Look, when the enemy comes after you, and you don't know what their secret plans are, and the enemy's coming, then immediately say, God, keep me from the fear. Don't let me operate in fear. Don't let me think in fear. Don't let me be dismayed, discouraged. God, keep me in your word that I will trust you and that I will be able to ultimately be glad in you. Three things we're supposed to be glad in the Lord. You can't do it with fear. To trust in him. You can't do it with fear. It's automatic. If you're not trusting God, then you're living in fear. Now, people call it depression, discouragement, disappointment, disillusionment, dismay, whatever. They call it all kinds of things. They have all kinds of reasons why. But Christians should never, ever live a life that's not living in complete trust of God. And especially right now, the life that we're moving toward, you can think this if you like, and I'm not going to argue with you about it. I know that it's not true. What the Republican majority in the House isn't, that it's not going to make a hill of beans worth of difference. And I shouldn't even say a hill of beans because now they're expensive too. And I can't say eggs because they're really expensive. Ultimately, if you watched the last few days, politics is politics. Well, we lost the midterms. I would say, again, we're getting what we deserve. And if we live in fear of what's coming, And many of those people that are in the Republican Party, or we would say that people that we would support, many of them have very strange ideas what should happen to churches and what should happen to charitable giving. You should research that. They're not all staunch conservatives. What do? We trust God. We trust Him. Why? No matter what, we can trust Him. Ultimately, I can be glad in Him. Have you ever gotten mad at somebody because they just seem to have a smile on their face? There's some of you folks out here, when I look at you, many times you'll just smile. You'll just be smiling. And it's encouraging. It's almost more encouraging than you saying amen. Because they're listening and they actually like what they hear. But not only that, they're glad about it. But you'll also hear this. Well, I don't know why you always preach about that. Why are you always preaching about that? Well, I don't always preach about anything. I don't really even know from week to week exactly what the exact subject's going to be. It's just going to be in the Bible. And I'm certain that it's going to be out of the Psalms at certain times. And other times it's going to be other studies that I'm doing. But I do know this. The Bible connects with the Bible, connects with the Bible. So ultimately it is the same message every time. Why? Well, because you can boil it all down to who Jesus is. I can trust in Him. I can be glad. I can be very glad in Him. I can rejoice and be in my heart happy. And when you trust Him and you stop living in fear, all of those things will be true of your heart, of your life, of your walk. You'll stop walking in fear, and you and I will start being glad. We'll start trusting the Lord with all our heart, leaning not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledging Him, for He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? Well, because God can be trusted. And God, by every believer, should be trusted. Every believer should be glad in Him. Everyone should be glorying, bringing Him glory and giving Him glory from their heart. What God has done for you and I is amazing beyond comparison. If we really considered who He is and thought He didn't have to do that, if we really would consider that He could have started over and done away with all of us, but He didn't, it sure would change our thought process about whether we should live in fear or live glorifying and praising God from our heart. People need to see a glad Christian. Someone who's not living for, oh, you know, when you talk about stuff all the time, it only makes it worse. The grandchildren, let's see, the one's asleep. Good. Is she asleep? Yes, she is. She's going to get shots tomorrow, right? Friday. So she was talking about it today. She goes like this. I'm going to get shots. She goes like, puts her two fingers on the table. Goes like. I said, are you brave? She goes, no. You, as a person who's been through this, who hates shots and hated shots since I was a little kid, I don't cry and crawl under desks anymore. But I do know this, the more you talk about it, the worse it makes it. It's like pulling off a Band-Aid. Is it going to hurt? Yep. Best way to do it. And that's what my dad taught me. He was a very kind man. quit your whining. Suck the blood out and spit it on the ground like Brother McCracken's dad. I'm telling you, Fear causes us to do things that we shouldn't do and keeps us from doing things that we should. And the world needs to see Christians who really trust in the Lord. We may have fear. Everybody's going to have it, but we don't have to live in it. We don't have to be discouraged by it. We can trust Him because God is the God and there is none else. Not one like Him. So trust Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed.